Hare Krishna. I want to also extend a warm welcome from my side to all of you. I do know that many of you have made a long journey to arrive here, and I know that you have a certain desire. You feel you want to visit the temple to become spiritually more nourished and enlivened, and I really hope that your stay in the temple is giving you this result or this fruit. I think as the years go by, it is very necessary that we contact really Krishna in a very personal way. Today I spoke with one devotee of Krishna, and the devotee said, you know, whenever I come in a town, the first thing I do is I visit the church, because in the church I can find a peaceful environment where I do not feel the world so strongly any longer, and I can sit down and pray. And I remembered when I was not yet in Krishna consciousness, I also had two places I went to: churches and the top of trees. My parents sometimes needed to send the fire brigade, you know, the do 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 da 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 do da da, because their son was in a tree and he knew how to get up, but he didn't know how to get down. I was asked by the people in the fire brigade, this is the fifth time where we save you. Why do you always climb on trees? And I said, I don't know. I feel I'm closest to God when I'm high on the tree. So this need of all of us to feel the divine presence of Krishna in our daily life is very important, and I feel this is the motivation for visiting a temple. The motivation should be to feel more close to Krishna. And today I wish to talk about it with a certain perspective. I hope that in this lecture you will be able to find that sacred space within you, that possibility to connect more with Krishna. We will write down something, because we will sing a song all together, so we write down a line. But before I start, I would like you to look a little bit around and see everyone. You can see these are all people whom, when you meet them on the street, you would say, wow, I'm so happy I met you. When you meet them on the street, they stand out from all the other people on the street, because they are very spiritual and they are interested in Krishna. Let us be grateful that all of them have now come in the same temple. We are in the same room. We are sharing our breathing air with many very spiritual people. And if we are all giving ourselves the permission now to let go of the many things which occupy our mind, including people writing something on a board, but just concentrate on our own spiritual journey and be a little reflective, I think we can create a wonderful atmosphere amongst ourselves, which will encourage all of us to give more attention to the greatest need in our life, to come in contact with the Supreme Lord. So please look a little bit around. This is a wonderful opportunity. You normally don't meet so many people, and normally you don't feel the knee of a neighbor on your lap because it's so many of us. It's a great opportunity. I would like to sing something in the beginning. I forgot to bring my card. Thank you. Say, oh, we have sung enough. Manu has sung now, and now stop, no longer singing. Now we feel, ooh, so new. Oh. It's so nice to see everyone. Really, I feel so much joy in my heart just to see you. And I have decided to start my lecture today by telling you a witz. has very much to do with my subject, which is spiritual growth. Can I tell the witz?
Yes.
Sita, witz means joke. What is witz? Once a policeman who was checking the people in the Ljubljana saw a cabriolet which looked very suspicious, maybe a smuggler, maybe a mafioso from Italia. So he decided to ask the driver for his car papers. And the driver, who had an extraordinary sunglasses, they were very big, he smilingly gave his car papers. And the policeman was shocked, because on the photo, he saw the photo of a gusenice, means a caterpillar. He looked at the photo to compare it with the driver, who was a butterfly. And the driver just looks at him and says, "Ha, that's an old photo." For those of us who are a little slow, every butterfly was before a gusenice, a caterpillar. And when the caterpillar grows, it becomes a butterfly. In the Bhagavad Gita, this example, not this joke, but it's this example, is there that we as human beings have the ability to grow beyond our present state by entering what is called a sambandha, a relationship with the Lord. All the different life forms, non-human life forms, like the cows, the dogs, the gusenitches, and so on, don't have this ability actually to develop a relationship with God. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains their state as being a state of bondage. They are bound by a chain of Maya to the material energy. Only the human being can develop another bondage, another state of being connected. They can develop the state of being connected with the Lord. And this is the special, the English word is prerogative. It means the special right, the special possibility or opportunity of the human form of life. I must say, I feel so happy because in this temple, especially during the Sunday programs, it's so full with people who were once gusenitches, caterpillars, but who are now butterflies, or to express it in a less poetic way, I'm together with people who are dedicated and committed to this process of transformation. They may not all have achieved the transformation yet. They may be somewhere in between, but in their mind and in their hearts, there is this idea, and that makes them very special. My dear devotees, for this reason, I can never find fault or any mistake with any devotees. Even those who are acting in this life, not as my deepest friends, I always try to see they are people who are dedicated to this transformation. From becoming a gusenice, a caterpillar, who is only a potential, so to say, to a devotee of the Lord. I always try to keep this in mind. Although the devotees are so different, they speak different languages, they have maybe different ashrams, some are married, some are unmarried. In one way, we all share something very common which binds us together, and there are very few people in this world who have this common idea to have spiritual growth. What will be my... I want to ask the question. What do you think is the one thing which will take care that the spiritual growth goes fast? Or let me ask you this question very personally. Do you think there is one thing in your life that if you understand and apply it, your life will drastically, I mean revolutionary change from a beginner on the spiritual path to a saintly person on the spiritual path? I think if we would just know what that one thing would be for each single one of us, we would say, okay, coming to the Ljubljana temple for the Sunday feast was worthwhile. I learned something which is essential for my spiritual growth, so that I can also go through this process of transformation, which is hinted at or in this spiritual witz, a spiritual joke. So I will try today to give you that missing element, but I must tell you, you must listen with two ears. One ear is just getting the information, and the second ear is hearing how does this apply to my life. And only if you listen with these two ears will your Sunday feast be really successful. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Dobro. I will now get serious. I will put on my glasses. Hare Krishna. It was in 1970. Srila Prabhupada sat down in his little room and he wrote a preface to the book which he said would be the one of his most important books. The book he had in mind to write was called in English The Nectar of Devotion. It's a summary study of a very old work from the 15th century, which is, you could say, something like the law book of bhakti. It is essential. Without it, without the information which is in this book, in English, sorry, in Sanskrit, it's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There can be no discussion of bhakti. So, Prabhupada wrote in this preface a very important sentence about the book he was about to write. He said, "The nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn the one switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere." Brighten means it will make it full of light. "One who does not know this method, how to put light in every aspect of his life, is missing the point of life." And what is that one switch, which when you turn it on makes everything full of light? What is it? Prabhupada says it's a simple and very natural method. It means it's already in the heart of loving Krishna. Once you know this simple and natural method of loving Krishna, you find the switch in your life, tick, which brightens all the aspects. Would you like to know this switch? Yes. I think we all want to know. I will make it simple and I will make it natural. It is that you simply offer all your thoughts and all your activities in the loving service to Krishna. All means everything. It means your hygienic acts in the morning, your meetings with your friends and family members. It means the discussions which you do and the activities. You just dedicate all this for Krishna's pleasure. And when you learn to do this, it's really you have to learn that. Then you find a switch which can really turn everything in your life. I have a very nice disciple in Zagreb. She is a dentist. How do we say dentist? It already when you hear the word, you become afraid. And when this particular devotee dentist does her work, she wants her patients to somehow be in connection with Krishna. And she puts music there, she has deities there. And by just this small act of offering her profession, which is dentistry, to Krishna, the clinic is almost like a temple. And people who come there are enlivened in their spiritual life. Of course, some are a little bit covered and it takes a little time, a little bit more, before they take shelter. But after some time, everyone cannot fail to see that atmosphere. This offering our daily acts to Krishna is not something new. It is discussed in the Bhagavatam. And I want to chant this verse with you in a moment. It says, everyone has a particular nature which we have acquired in conditioned life. You know, this means someone is a dentist and is good in dental work. Another is a farmer. Yet another is maybe a manager, or like me, I'm a monk who likes to express this, the content of the scriptures. We all have a certain nature which we have acquired. But whatever we do in this nature with our body, our words, our mind, and a few other more things, should be offered to the Supreme, and we think, this, what I do now, is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Can we chant this in Sanskrit? Because it is a very nice verse. Yeah? Has to be the right. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva. Buddhyat manavanu shritasvabhavat. Bodhyatmanavanushritasvabhavat karoti yat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti Samapayetat. Again, I will read to you. Whatever we have, whatever nature we have acquired in our material life, it's okay. Whatever we do with our body, words and mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, or simple, whatever we do, one should offer it to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Jiva Goswami says that before you do an activity, you say, what I am about to do, you know, what I will do now, I want to do that for the pleasure of the Lord. And the moment you bring the Lord in the equation, in your life, you will immediately see that whatever it is that you're doing gets that spiritual touch. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, great saint, has offered some explanation. He said, ordinary persons get ready in the morning by hygienic acts. It means you get out of the bed, then you go to the bathroom and you brush your teeth and you take a shower. And then ordinary people then meet their friends and they talk about the day's activities. But a devotee gets up and does the same activities. And he speaks of hygienic acts, meeting friends and family members, and he does this for the pleasure of Krishna. And the moment you do this in this relationship, Krishna will sanctify all your activities. And again, I want to say all your activities. Once Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of the sons of his devotees. This son was learning mathematics. And Prabhupada wrote him a letter and said, I will teach you now transcendent mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. 5 + 5 = 10. everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the spiritual world. That means everything, including toothbrushing. Toothbrushing and so on. This is the one switch which you need to find. You can do many things, like chanting Hare Krishna, serving in the temple, serving outside the temple. You can do many things like reading sacred scriptures. If you do all this minus Krishna, in other words, you don't offer it to Krishna, your activities are called karma kanda activities. They're karmic activities. But the switch which you have to find is you do that consciously for Krishna. And it must be something you must offer it to the Lord, thinking, Narayana yeti samapayatam, or Krishna yeti samapayatam, for Krishna. Sakrishnam, for Krishna, for his pleasure. And the moment you do this, you will experience transcendental bliss, and you will do what is so difficult for some of us, that is, you will separate yourself from those activities which are not for the pleasure of Krishna. You will slowly learn to act just for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the important switch. And I would like to tell you a little story about this, and then I want to sing a song with you. Once there was a great Brahmin scholar who was missing this switch. He was in an illusion. He did many spiritual things, but he just never thought that this is consciously to be offered to Krishna. So one of the things which he decided to do at the last end of his life was to make a pilgrimage to Badrinath. May I know who of you has gone to Badrinath? Please raise your hands. 1, 2. Oh, Upananda, you have visited? Wonderful. 2 only. Who of you has heard about Badrinath? Okay. This is really a journey, my dear devotees, which I believe you would like to do, because most of the journey is on the banks of Mother Ganga. It takes by foot. It will take 1.5 weeks, but you can also go by bus in one day, but it's a bus drive you will never forget for the rest of your life. Ooh, the bus drivers in the Himalayas are crazy. You know, the way they go around the curves, and you see 1 kilometer, you know, just this much next to the tire of the bus. It goes down for 1 kilometer. And sometimes there are accidents. 2-3 years ago, a whole bus of Russian devotees went to Mother Ganga. Yes? They fell down, and there were devotees who died, and others who were really injured for life, and some of them not so much, but yes. So Badrinath. In old times, it was a long pilgrimage, and everyone, it was understood, who was believing in the Lord had to complete this pilgrimage once in a life. So the Brahmana felt, I should also go. So he went, and he met people who said, you have to be quick, because for 6 months out of the year, Badrinath has to close down because it gets so cold and there's so much snowfall that the roads cannot be passed and that the temple is closed. Yes, for 6 months the temple is covered with snow, and when the priests come after 6 months, when the snow has melted down, do you know what? It's perfectly clean, because at that time the devatas come, the heavenly beings, the demigods, and they do the first puja after the snow melt. It's a very mystical temple, very nice temple. It happens every year like this. When the temple is open for the pilgrimage, when the first pilgrims can come there, it is clean. But for 6 long months it is closed. So the Brahmana was very old, and he wanted to see Badrinath, that means the Lord Krishna on the altar, before he died. And he went there, and he constantly met pilgrims who came down from Badrinath and said, "Be careful, be quick, soon the snow will come and the priest will close the temple. You must be fast." The Brahmana was old. He said, "I'm trying my best." You know, he felt like a devotee after 6 hours or 12 hours doing kirtan. He was just hobbling around. "I'm trying my best." Finally, after struggling and fighting to stay alive, he climbed the steps of the temple. And just as he reached the first entrance gate, there are two gates, but just when he came to the first entrance gate, the priest closed the temple door. Too late. And the old man said, "My dear priest, I come from South India. I have done so much pilgrimage. I have done so much work to come here. Just 1 minute wait." But the priest said, "My dear Brahmana, God never waits for us.